Sleep for Life.
With conversation this hot and happening.
$56 billion. Is there any justification for one human being to be paid that amount of money?
You never want to miss a single beat.
Can we define, before we go any further, what you mean by fast fashion?
But when life happens, K-Talk recaps all the biggest conversations from the week, every weekday
from 9 p.m.
If we don't have the political maturity required for coalitions, then they will fall apart.
Catch the best of talk only on K-Talk. Join the conversation.
We're going to talk movies now, and not just any movie. We were talking a very important movie, a new South African film premiered last night. Amy Ray Rispel, my producer, was there, and she's given me lots of notes. I was supposed to be there, but I was in the dog box, and she understood, and she let me off the hook. So we're going to talk to actor Sholto Copley, who joins us in the studio, about Boy Kills World. And of course, if you want to be part of the conversation, you can join us via WhatsApp at 072-567-1567. Your calls anytime at 021-446-0567. Welcome, Sholto. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Sholto, I want to get into the meat of it, and I will get into the meat of it. But last week, I had an interview with somebody who shot a bit of a movie. I believe it's a 20-minute movie on an iPhone 13. And I'm reading today that it is said to be one of the most expensive films ever to shoot in South Africa. So clearly people are taking risks because they feel safe about those risks. And on the other hand, people are getting resourceful, getting their stories told with simple cell phones. Tell us about this very interesting and evolving industry.
And then maybe AI is going to come along and just replace all of us. It's this was a big deal because you were talking about it being a South African film. It's not a South African film content-wise. It's set, you know, in some generic city comic book world type of thing. But it's funded entirely by a South African company at a budget level that I'm not allowed to say, but is much more in line with kind of low budget, but bigger scale, relatively low budget for Hollywood movies. That's unheard of out of South Africa.
But yeah.
So to see a company do that, these guys at Intiba Pictures put this amount of money into a film, and you were talking about the risk. I mean, it's always risky, man.
Sure, but it's sus stuff. It must be sus.
This is a risky industry. You know, you wouldn't go on Shark Tank and go like, "Sharks, I just need $20 million, and here's my idea." And they're like, "What are you?" So, you know what I mean? It's like those guys don't even give you, you know, $75,000 unless you've got. Yeah. So, you know, a market already in place or something, and something that they really believe they can sell. We're a risky business.
Yeah, so they're taking the risk, and I believe it's a sus risk, and that means that there's still a lot of life in the industry.
You hope so. I certainly hope so.
It's not in the manner that I experienced it at Steakinico and at the drive-in. It's a different life out there. It's streaming, and those are the realities of the future.
Definitely. There's a lot of, obviously, the streamers have made a huge difference to our business. They can spend an enormous amount of money and not be, also what's interesting about streaming is you're safe if you make a streaming film. So I just did a little cameo for my friend Ilya, who's directing a big movie for Amazon called Heads of State. Amazon spending, you know, $160 million on the movie. We'll never know how it does. And we're just talking, because normally there's so much pressure in that environment. If you've got a $160 million movie on the line, everybody's watching, how much does it make? Amazon just take that 160, pay it,
put it out. $3 billion.
And nobody knows, you know. And so in a way, there's some upsides because it takes the pressure off.
Okay, let's get into the meat because I've been briefed by Amy. The movie's been described as unhinged and apparently from your own lips like an adrenaline shot. So Amy says, for it was like a Hitchcock and Tarantino made a pochi and they threw in some Deadpool spice. And this is the impressive result. She rated it 8 out of 10 and said matured fans of the arcade game Street Fighter, we just spoke about Street Fighter, would thoroughly enjoy the film. But it's not for the faint-hearted, she continues, especially with the 18 rating. And she wants to know from you, what was your favorite aspect of filming?
Of filming the movie? Shooting in Cape Town, is that wrong? It really is. I love coming back here to shoot. There wasn't a particular thing, you know, a particular scene or anything that was, it's just to be here. And we have the most incredible crews here and just a vibe that I love. I just love coming home.
Okay, she continues, you did some improv too, I believe.
That's correct. I'm just wondering, you said earlier, throw in some Deadpool. I think maybe that's a typo as Deadpool as a reference, because otherwise, what is a Deadpool? They're all clapping at me. He just skipped over. Clarence just read it.
I thought I was vase.
It's a little bit of this, a little bit of Deadpool.
Okay, tell me what.
I'm like, what is no Deadpool, meneer? Ek vra nou vir jou.
I'm the idiot. I'm the idiot. Tell me what's a Deadpool.
Dead poets. So Deadpool, the movie Deadpool.
I got it.
What was the question again? Where were we before
you
the Deadpool?
You did some improv.
The improving, yeah. Yes. That's my favorite type of acting. That's my favorite type of acting. Is the improv stuff. I got to, you know, and since District 9 where I improved everything, yeah. I guess I've kind of become the guy that they let loose more often.
What does that mean? Do you just chuck the script when you feel like it?
Not necessarily. You improv around the structure of the scene. So like I did recently, one of my favorite things I've ever done was Curb Your Enthusiasm. I don't know if you know that show. It's a total improv show. It's a big show for HBO and I got to play a South African character there. And it's all improv again. It'll just be like, we'll set up the context of the scene. You know, it's like, Sholto, you're going to go and do a radio interview with Clarence. He's going to ask you a very uncomfortable question that you don't want to answer, and you're going to fight, and then you're going to make up and be friends. Like, they'll give you those beats, and now you must work out how you're going to do that, you know?
But that's your profession. You can turn it on and off at whim.
Most of the time, yeah, particularly if there's a camera rolling, yeah, and there's a character that I'm playing, yes.
Tell us about what drew you to your villain era and into the role of sleazy and opportunistic showman, the culling TV host Glenn van der Kooi, husband of ratings-hungry PR marketing whiz Melanie. Could you relate to the character?
What drew me, not really in terms of relating, but certainly what drew me was, like I was saying before, that it was a South African company funding this movie. Mm. And there was a crazy zaniness to it and to the character. And I kind of love doing those crazy characters that are a bit unhinged and where you just can just have fun. And it's kind of, there's a playfulness to those types of performances that I like. I don't like particularly doing villains. I don't actually particularly like, you know, performing violent scenes, to be honest. But I like the playfulness involved in acting and these kind of zany, wacky characters like I play here.
I think we should just get into the movies quickly. Let's get a sense of where the trailer's energy is at. And we'll continue our conversation with actor Sholto Copley. We're talking about a new South African film. It premiered last night, Boy Kills World. And this is a little bit of what you're going to experience then.
Let's do this. This was never a great city, but it was ours.
Are you with me?
Always.
Until Hilda van der Kooi took it from us. This is how she keeps control. They call it the Culling.
They're all gonna watch and cheer as you die.
That's me, facing televised execution by breakfast cereal mascots. Not my happiest day. But let me take you back to an even worse one. The day the van der Kooi's killed my family and left me deaf and mute. So, I made a three-step plan. Step one, give myself an inner voice. I took the last one I remembered from this video game. Player one wins! Step two, get stronger. A lot stronger. And step three, join a team.
Welcome to the Resistance.
Yeah, go team. The mission is simple. Make the van der Kooi's pay for what they have done. Insert crazy action montage.
You fall in love. Team. Got the ball. Team is caving in. You never been so nuts about a guy you want.
Here comes the hopper.
You cross your heart, you hope you die.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Wow. You ring the
bell. Run time.
I don't like this plan.
You have reached your final destination.
Oh my God, no! I have information. I'm gonna help you. Stop!
Nobody wasn't gonna help us.
Definitely sounded like he was gonna help us.
Sure.
Wow, I didn't know you were going to play the whole thing. That's sure. So let's say a skopskit and honor movie.
Yeah, yeah, precis. And I overstayed my welcome on the 19th hole on Wednesday.
Yeah.
On the golf course. So I was in the dog box last night.
Okay.
And I'm actually glad I was.
It's intense. It's not, I mean, my mother didn't come and see it. Let me put it that way. But there's definitely a very specific audience that loves this kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so you'll probably know Sholto from, well, he's already said District 9. More recently, he's been in Beast, Monkey Man, Ted K, and now cast in Netflix's The Witcher Season 4 as well. Hollywood royalty, beloved in South Africa. And we're going to ask him what's next for him. It looks as if there's a whole lot of things lined up. First, it has to be surreal. It is unreal. Or is there a figment of where we're going with this particular movie?
Are we talking about Boy Kills World?
Yes.
I mean, actually just listening to the trailer, the other thing that attracted me to it, this idea of the character that doesn't speak but has an inner voice.
Yes.
Was just original. You know, I haven't seen that. And I thought, wow, how are they going to make that work? And so there's definitely a sense of fun and playfulness that you get through, you know, I have an inner voice and I'm speaking my thoughts. And I wish my inner voice could do all my interviews, actually. But
and maybe that context is important. it's a violent story, thrilling violent story, mainly centers on a deaf-mute boy who vows to avenge the murder of his family by the deranged matriarch. The boy attains martial arts skills and goes on a bloody rampage.
It's really not that complicated, Clarence. Yeah, he's just going to go back and get revenge. That's the thing.
It's the deaf-mute bit.
It's just the deaf-mute part. Yeah, it's how it's done. It's interesting. I mean, it's interesting because I'm in two of these revenge movies. Monkey Man's the same kind of thing, and it's just how you do them. And it's quite interesting. Both these movies coming out at the same time, and they both tackle the same type of story, just in original ways.
Okay, so this is completely fiction. There's not a chance of this kind of
dystopian
reality.
Well, there's definitely a chance of dystopian future.
Some of that sounded like the Cape Flats on any given day.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the setting of Cape Town. Clearly, with that kind of budget, you have international ambitions for it. The setting of Cape Town, I guess, could have universal appeal.
So it's not, the city is kind of a comic book city. So Cape Town is just created, is altered. So you wouldn't recognize it as Cape Town. You wouldn't recognize it as anywhere specifically. If you're Capetonian, you definitely will recognize it, you know, places in Cape Town that the movie features. But the international audience won't. And yeah, it's very much an international movie. There's nothing in the creative content that is specifically local. It's very international cast. Michelle Dockery, who was in Downton Abbey, plays my wife in the movie. My mom was quite thrilled about that, actually. It's the first time that I've ever done a movie where she wanted a picture because she was a Downton Abbey fan. And she heard Michelle's playing my wife. And she's like, I have to get a photo. I'm like, Mom, I was playing Angelina Jolie's True Love. You didn't do it. I was with Charlize. I was like with all these movies. No, she didn't care. She was like, Michelle Dockery, I'm there. And she has a picture with Michelle. Yeah, so there you go.
Yes, here's a message in. Where is it? It just disappeared. His inner voice is the same voice of the character Archer.
That's right.
And that's from Logan in Edenvale. So Logan is on point?
That's true, yes. I'm just trying to remember the name of the guy who does it. The inner voice character, the voice actor, is very well known and has actually quite a big fan base around the world.
Okay, so Cape Town is beautiful. I wanted you to say that too.
Cape Town is beautiful. I can say, just give me notes. Yeah, just give me notes, and I'll just plug whatever you want.
You said
that's what happens now. We're on the promotional tour. We say whatever they tell us to.
Okay. Amy notes as well, do you know how hard it was to get them to sponsor a mass murder? This must be one of the best lines in the film.
And to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder. I'm just going to help you out there, Clarence.
Right.
Amy's nodding, thank you. So you're welcome, Amy.
I get
I'm
it.
On your team here.
You just left it out in the notes there, the cereal.
There
but then he's a cereal
Puts,
company.
And Puts, and then she left out cereal company. Amy, this is... These typos, it's typos. We need to do some work here.
No, it's definitely Deadpool. I don't know why I read it as a T. So, but
okay, that's okay.
This must be one of the best lines of the film, and the comedic timing was perfect. What was your first response to the script when you read it during lockdown? Yeah, that'd be interesting. It was like, this is crazy stuff.
Yeah, it was the zaniness of it. And like I say, the idea of the character, the deaf-mute character, I thought, okay, that's a unique take. Let's see if they can pull that off. It's a challenge. It's different. It hasn't been done, and it's. I like doing movies that have some edge to them.
Okay. Again, Amy watched the movie last night. She writes, I love that the producers explored with inner voice that was taken from his favorite video game and the journey of him finding his power as an allegory. The film also explores themes of vengeance and the impact of childhood trauma. How did you connect with these themes?
I stayed nicely away from them, and I was just the face of the company and the voice of the company. And I luckily on this one, I don't have to get too down and dirty and in all of that. My guy is just the PR. He's like a politician. Actually, come to think of it, he is a well-placed politician in the family. What mess, Clarence? There's no mess.
Is there not a chink in the armor at all?
No, not at all, Clarence. Everything is fine. Our family's going well. And, you know, the people love us. And, yes, that's my character.
Let's have
yeah,
that
I just
cereal.
Got to do that. I just, yes, well, you know, companies sponsor things as they do.
You want to go check out this movie, even if it's just for effects and a little bit of Cape Town, if you're not into the kind of violence that probably comes with it as well. And there's an 18 age restriction, chatting with actor Sholto Copley. It's called Boy Kills World, a new South African feature. So what was it like to work with producers like Sam Raimi and Roy Lee? And how did their involvement influence the film's direction and your portrayal of Glenn?
Okay, so I'm going to just be completely honest here. So the way that Hollywood works, I mean, the Sam and Roy are sort of big name producers. They had relatively little to nothing to do with the actual making of the film. The two guys that were really responsible are Wayne Fitzjohn and Simon Swart. They're both South Africans from Ntiba Pictures. And they were really the main producers. In this case, none of the producers had much, you know, impact on the character. Normally, you know, when they bring me in to do stuff, the director and I will kind of craft stuff. I had some chats with the other thing that was amazing on here is this is a first-time director that these South African producers that Wayne and Simon backed. And it's kind of, it's one of those frustrating things in our business to some degree, for example, that, you know, it'll be all over the PR notes that, you know, Sam Raimi and Roy Lee and whatever, but there's actually two South African guys that are doing all the work, killing themselves to get the movie done. And very, nobody knows, you know, they're not out in the front. It's kind of one of those, it's just how it is, you know. I'm not criticizing it one way or the other. I'm just pointing out that's what happens.
Yeah. I'm trying to imagine the kind of friction, the tension between the producer and the director, the commercial imperatives versus the artistic direction.
You sometimes,
does that play out?
It often does on movies, but it also often doesn't, in the sense that if you have good directors want their films to work. So everybody's trying to make the film. And when I say work financially, like it's very obvious at these types of budget levels that if you just go and do whatever you like as a director, because I'm making my like art piece,
yes,
you know, about a man who's works at a bank and nothing happens, you know, it's like that's not going to fly with like $20 million plus budgets. So you there's pressure on everybody's head. And when it's working well, everybody's on the same team. And when it's not, there's definitely clashes. But the clashes are not over I wanted red and you wanted blue. I mean, they can be. It sometimes happens that way. But the big clashes usually happen in post-production where it's like, we're testing your movie, but, and it's not working. You know, and the director's like, no, but I love my movie. And it's like, we can see that it's not working. So we're going to force you to change certain things. And that happens quite frequently. And also at that initial stage, you can't be sure. Sometimes movies test badly, but actually do well. So it's or test more often than not, they test medium, and so now you really don't know what's going to happen.
And those budgets, are they sacrosanct, or do they kind of creep?
They often creep, which is also a problem, you know. And the more that your budget is creeping as a director, if you're not making your days and actually getting stuff done, then the producers will step in as well and be like,
stop now.
Yeah, come.
Okay, so I wanted to know what next. It sounds as if you're really kind of busy as we move to wrap. Tell us what else we can expect from Charlton Copley.
Yeah, you mentioned those. So, right now, what's out now is the TV show Curb Your Enthusiasm, which if you're a fan of that show, check it out. Definitely got to do a South African character in there, which was fun. Monkey Man with my friend Dev Patel. Dev's a very close friend of mine. The movie's done really well. It's a very special film. And I was honored to be a part of his journey, you know, becoming a director. We've been close since we did Chappie together, Dev and I. And The Witcher has just been announced. So I'm doing the rest of that TV show. And there's a video game in progress, which I can't talk about at the moment. But there's a big video game project. I'm starting to get involved in that. And then working on a couple of my own projects. So we'll see what happens.
Okay, so I did probably my first movie I saw at the drive-in with my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. Where do people go these days to see a movie?
See a movie? We were still at the V&A Waterfront. They're still there. They were actually still there, Clarence. We were there last night. The movies are still there. They're holding on for dear life. You should get out and watch a couple.
I've been reading the newspaper the past week. I think that's why I'm asking the question.
Reading the newspaper? Well, you see, that's old-fashioned. If there's a newspaper that you're reading, you can still head out to the cinemas.
So isn't just going to come to your television soon via your app?
Oh, no, this is definitely on circuit. We're talking about Boy Kills World. Yeah, it's coming out this Friday. So pop down to the movies to see it for sure. Yeah, it's only on cinemas.
There we go. You want to go and check it out. It's shot in Cape Town. There's a whole lot of things that will, appeal to you, I have no doubt. But it's time for news coming your way at 11 o'clock. Big thank you, actor Charlton Copley, joining us today. The movie again called Boy Kills World. News at